These aren't exactly motorcycle gang people.
The thief biker saw the danger.
I noticed a dog run out, so I immediately started braking.
Did you see the dog at all?
No, I did not see the dog.
But the chain reaction was unavoidable.
I glance over quickly. I see Vicky hit the back of the SUV.
Her teeth hit the top of the windshield, and she busted out five teeth.
I glance back over to see where I'm going. Dennis has stopped in front of me.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Motorcyclist Richard Rick Gibson is suing dog owner Christy Funk for an accident that occurred when Christy's unleashed dog ran into traffic.
Order. All rise.
Now it's case number 309 on the calendar in the matter of Gibson versus Funk.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Judge. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Folks, have a seat.
Mr. Gibson, it is your claim that the defendant is responsible for an accident that occurred while you were riding your motorcycle. And the fault you ascribe to her is that she allowed her unleashed dog to run out into the road, which caused the traffic accident, and you were a byproduct of that accident.
Yes.
Ms. Funk says that there is no evidence that A, that her dog ran out into the road, thereby causing the accident, and B, even if that were so, part of the fault of that accident can be ascribed to your driving too fast. So I gather from reading this complaint that this took place at sort of a state park area. Is that right?
It was a picnic area. It's called Banks Beach. It's alongside the highway. They have picnic tables there. They have a swimming beach there. They have a small parking area there.
I see a lot of cars. Were those cars parked on a highway?
Yes, green cars? Alongside the highway, yes.
On what day did this occur?
July the 6th of 2013.
What time of the day?
Around 5 p.m.
You were on your motorcycle?
Yes.
You were driving with other people?
Yes. Dennis and Vicky Wallace, my witnesses. Dennis was in front, Vicky was second, and I was third.
Dennis, could you stand up next to Mr. Gibson? Now, Mr. Wallace, you were first. Where had you and your wife, is your wife?
Yes.
Been coming from?
We were coming up from a little resort town north. It was called Warm Lake. It's about 125 miles north of where we live.
And you were going where?
We were just on our way home. We'd gone for a day ride, and we'd gone up there for lunch, and we're on our return ride.
You've been riding motorcycles with your wife for how long?
Nearly all my life. I've been riding 45 years. She's been solo now for about six.
Before that, you rode together?
Yes, we did, ma'am.
Good for you. And Mr. Gibson, what about you?
I've been riding probably for about 50 years.
Do all of you have other modes of transportation?
Yes.
Cars?
Yeah.
So this is really recreational driving for you?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Wallace, you were involved in the accident.
Yes.
Tell me what happened to you.
About a mile from where this accident happened, there's a little town called Banks, and as we rolled through there, this was, you know, again, the 4th of July weekend. There was a lot of traffic, and you're basically just in the, as we call it, the parade, because everybody's on their way home. As we went through Banks, I checked our speed. It's a 55-mile-an-hour speed limit. We were doing, I think, around 50 as we came through that town. And I noticed a dog run out just between the cars and the car in front of me, and my reaction was that car stopping. So I immediately started braking, and my closest way out was the center line between the traffic. And so as I was slowing down, my wife overtook me on her bike skidding, and I was actually turned and watched her impact the SUV just as I went past the back end of the SUV.
So the maroon car is the SUV that you're
Correct.
Talking about.
Yes.
And you say that that car did slow down?
It stopped.
It stopped. You managed to get around the car.
Yes.
Your wife did not. So she hit the back of the SUV.
Right.
And the SUV stopped because you say you saw a dog running out into the road.
Yes, I saw a glimpse of a dog between the parked traffic and the car in front of me.
Were you injured?
Not until I was struck by Mr. Gibson.
So you managed to get around the SUV.
Yes.
Your wife is now stopped because she slammed into the rear of the SUV that stopped for the dog.
Yes, Your Honor.
Now, Mr. Gibson, I'd like you to tell me what happened that caused you to impact with Mr. Wallace?
Okay, I was third in line coming up there. I saw the SUV stop.
Did you see the dog at all?
No, I did not see the dog. I saw Dennis go around to the left of the SUV down the center line. I saw
that. And this is a two-way traffic.
Two-way traffic, yeah.
So there's a single lane of traffic.
Yes. So I see the SUV stop in the traffic lane. I see Dennis go to the left of the SUV down the yellow line. That's my only way out is to follow him. I glance over quickly. I see Vicky hit the back of the SUV. And then I glance back over to see where I'm going on my escape route. Dennis has stopped in front of me.
So he stopped and you hit him?
Yes.
So now I'm going to come back to you. Were you injured?
When I was struck by Richard, I was, yes.
Tell me what kind of injuries you sustained.
Mostly bruising from the waist down on both legs. And I had bruising even in my arches, but I think it was just as my bike was being knocked out from underneath me that I came back up over the saddlebags and the backrest. And like I say, it was pretty much just bruising from the waist down.
And your wife, what kind of injuries did she sustain?
She held on to her handlebars, pivoted up. I estimate the impact at between 5 and 8 miles an hour. She came up, impacted the back of the SUV, back on her bike, and then fell over. Her teeth hit the top of the windshield, and she broke busted out five teeth.
Okay. Would you sit down for a moment, Mr. Wallace? Ms. Wallace, can I have you up at the stand, please? Did you see the dog?
I did not.
How far back were you from the SUV when you saw its brake lights?
I never saw the SUV's brake lights. I saw my husband's brake lights and reacted to his
reaction. Brake lights?
Yes.
Were you injured?
Yes, I was.
Other than the teeth?
I have a bone up here that's broken.
Are either you or your husband involved in a lawsuit against any party?
No.
Did you have insurance?
Yes.
Did your insurance cover your bikes?
Yes.
Did your insurance cover your medical bills?
My health insurance did.
Now, Mr. Gibson, you are number three in line. You went around, collided. Did you have insurance on your bike?
I just had liability insurance.
Just liability?
Yes.
Was your bike ruined?
Yes.
How old was it?
It was a 2003.
Now, as far as your injuries are concerned, would you tell me what they were again?
I had a banged up right kneecap, and then the muscles on my left leg were...
Were you hospitalized?
No, Your Honor.
Now, Mrs. Wallace was severely, I call that severely and permanently injured. She lost five teeth, or pieces of five teeth, which cannot be replaced, at least by her own. She has a broken bone, so she clearly was the most seriously injured. And I'm just curious, before we even get to the defendant, why do you think that the Wallaces are not suing Ms. Funk?
I don't know.
Why don't you tell me?
Because I just don't do that. Everything is covered, so.
Okay. Have you gotten estimates on your bike?
Yes, I have.
How many do you have?
I just have one from the Yamaha dealer. I do have estimates of the replacement value also.
I'd like to take a look at both.
Okay. The estimate for the repair. And
when did you purchase the bike?
It was in 2007.
And how much did you pay for it in 2007?
I paid $6,000.
And it's about $3,500 replacement value if it's in excellent condition. Okay, Ms. Funk. So we have lovely afternoon at the beach. Why don't you tell me what happened at 5 o'clock?
I was with two friends and three children and my dog, Ginger. We were swimming in the river. Next thing I knew, my witness was yelling at me, and I also heard a family hollering at, I wasn't really sure what, but there was some commotion from another family that was also there at the beach.
But your dog wasn't with you at the moment?
Correct.
Had you seen your dog leave? You were swimming with the dog in the river?
Correct.
At some point, you saw the dog leave the water, I assume?
Yes.
At what point did you see the dog leave the water?
When I went upstream a little bit with my witness's daughter and came back down, Ginger was getting out
so
of the water.
So you were swimming with your witness's daughter and you lost sight of your dog for
yes.
a while. There was only one dog in the group?
Correct.
And that was your dog?
Right.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
she could have gotten killed. I mean, if she were going 30, 40 miles an hour, and if she hit the back of the SUV, she would have lost a lot more than five teeth.
And later today...
What month do you claim he owes rent for?
Just for September.
Doesn't owe you anything for September. Nothing.
Why is that?
Because I said so.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Motorcyclist Rick Gibson says dog owner Christy Funk is responsible for an accident that occurred when Christy's unleashed dog ran into traffic.
Okay, why don't you stand up? Tell me your last name.
Burgoyne.
So, Miss Funk is swimming with your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
How old is your daughter?
14.
Had you seen them go into the river to start swimming?
Yes.
And where was the dog? Where was Ginger?
Ginger was, there's this little sandbar. There's the bank that comes down, a little sandbar, and then the water from the river kind of goes back here, and it's a waiting area for children because the water's not very deep. So Ginger had come from that area here where it bridges, and she got out of the water.
Did you follow her when she got out of
yes,
the water?
Yes, I did.
Okay, let me hear what you did.
I followed her because I noticed that she's getting out of the water, and I didn't know why she was getting out of the water until I looked up ahead, and there was a family up at the top because the bank is quite steep up to the road, and there was a family at the top that was screaming for their little girl, and I saw a little blonde-haired girl that was probably about 6 or 7, and I saw the dog follow the little girl up to the top.
You saw the dog go up the embankment?
Up the embankment.
Yes.
And I was calling for her to come back to me. And she went along the road where the parked cars and the trees and the rocks are. And she popped back down towards me around a tree. And as she came down about 5 feet, so she was closer to me now, I grabbed her by the collar and I walked her the rest of the way down to the swimming area where we were.
Accidents happen. I know what your witness is trying to tell me, and your witness is trying to tell me that the dog actually didn't go out into the road. But that's not true. The driver of that SUV was being very vigilant and stopped the car. The confluence of coincidences, at the same time the dog is at the top of the road, a SUV that's traveling at a reasonable rate of speed stops dead on a single lane highway just at about the time your dog is at the top of the embankment. That's too coincidental for a normal person. I'm a normal person. Nobody meant for this accident to happen. Some people say if it happens, and if you're in a situation like this, you're not supposed to stop for a dog or for an animal. Because if you do, you can cause somebody to get killed. She could have gotten killed. If she were going faster, she would have gotten killed. I mean, if she were going 30, 40 miles an hour, and if she hit the back of the SUV, she would have lost a lot more than five teeth. You know that. So she wasn't speeding. These aren't exactly motorcycle gang people. At least they don't look like motorcycle gang people to me. They're sport riders. So you're very fortunate that the Wallaces have the kind of attitude that they have, which is, you know, we have other things in our lives and we don't have to sue somebody for something that was really an accident. But Mr. Gibson, unfortunately, doesn't have the same kind of insurance that they do, so he's not going to be made whole unless he's made whole by somebody who lost track of their dog. And I don't know whether there is a leash policy in the park or not. It really is not relevant. You have to be in a position of maintaining control over your dog at all times. You may take it off the leash, but then you do so at your own peril. If you lose control over the dog and the dog causes injury, then you're responsible. So you're really very lucky that none of these people were more seriously injured. Judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $3,500. Thank you.
Please are excused. You may step out.
It was 4th of July weekend. A lot of traffic, a lot of children, a lot of dogs off leash.
I think it was just a really unfortunate day.
I don't remember a whole lot other than being worried my mom was going to kill me.
You know, we're able to stand here, the three of us, after being in this motorcycle accident. Fortunately, because of Judge Judy's ruling, I'll be able to replace my motorcycle. But I can't replace my friends. And that's the most important part.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Bauer, Corrado versus Osias, step forward.
Jeremy Bauer and his girlfriend, Giovanna Corrado, are suing their former roommate, 22-year-old Nathan Osias, for unpaid rent and a stolen dresser. Nathan is countersuing
for the return of property and storage fees.
You two were boyfriend and girlfriend, and he was a third roommate living in your house, and this is some nonsense about some rent that you claim that the defendant owes you and piece of property that he took when he moved out. All right, let's just cut to the chase very, very quickly. After living together for a while, things didn't work out. He wanted out, you wanted him out. He finally moved out in September, is that right?
On the 7th, yes.
So he finally moved out in September?
Yes, on the 7th.
He finally moved out in September?
Yes.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
It was a spare dresser in the house, and when he moved in, I said, you can keep using it, but I never gave him permission to take it.
Good. Anything else?
No, that's
it. You're done.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Jeremy Bauer and his girlfriend Giovanna Corrado are suing their former roommate, 22-year-old Nathan Osias, for unpaid rent and a stolen dresser. Nathan is countersuing for the return of property and storage fees.
Now, do you currently have another roommate?
Yes.
Who?
Eduardo.
Eduardo.
When did Eduardo move into the house?
At the end of September.
What date in September?
About the 20th.
We didn't charge him rent until the beginning of the next month.
I don't care.
Oh, sorry.
What rent does he pay?
He pays...
Easy phone call. What rent does he pay?
$400. $300. I'm sorry.
Less than what he was paying.
It's a different room.
How many rooms do you have that you rent?
There are two full-sized rooms and one small half room that we charged half rent for.
Who lives in the room that he was living in?
Jasmine,
my former room. She used to live in the small room, and she moved into the large room when he moved out.
When did she move into the large room? Date?
October 1st.
I don't believe you. Why would she move in October 1st when he's gone September 7th? Why would she move in? If she wanted to move into the larger room, why would she move in October 1st?
He didn't leave there until September 7th. She started moving in her stuff between the month, but she didn't start paying rent until October 1st.
That's why I said I don't believe it. Fine. Yeah. Now, what month do you claim he owes rent for?
Just for September.
Doesn't owe you anything for September. Nothing.
Why is that?
Because I said so. Because it's nonsense.
If I may.
Because it's nonsense. Because now you have additional rent. You want to make up your rent, that's fine. You have somebody that moved in the middle of September taking over half a room that you didn't have before. So they're paying $300. This new roommate, according to your girlfriend, started to move her things into the room the entire month of September after he moved. Once she moves in a handkerchief, she is a tenant in that room. So he doesn't owe you anything for September.
Okay.
What else do you think he owes you for?
He took a dresser that I had allowed him to have.
Just a second.
I'm sorry,
what do you mean?
Use. It was a spare dresser in the house. I had allowed the previous tenant to use it. And when he moved in, I said, you can keep using it. But I never gave him permission to take it with him.
That's what we're about. Mm-hmm. Dresser.
Yes, it was given to me by the prior tenant that used to be in that room.
Good. Anything else?
No, that's
it. You're done.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Want justice? Go to judgejudy.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Now, you have a cross complaint. You want the return of money owed for storage fees. What fees?
I gave my friend money, which was on me, to give him that money.
For what?
For storing most of my things into one of his parents' vans.
Okay. You know, I really think that you both just have to forget this whole bad experience. Even if he didn't pay rent in September, what you did, according to you, was I deadbolted the door after he left.
He was making threats against me.
I deadbolted the door after he left. That is an eviction.
I just wanted the police to come and witness it because he had two large friends with him, and he told me there was nothing I could do about collecting rent. I put a notice on his door. I said, the rent was due on the 1st. You can't just tell me on the 6th that you're moving out.
He left.
He took his
keys.
Whole.
Instead of having one tenant, you now have two tenants.
We've always had four tenants there.
Oh, well, then you're very, very good business people. I can't help you. Goodbye.
Bye, step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
Nate is a thief and a liar, and I'm going to be pressing charges for my stolen dresser.
We got along until Giovanna moved in, which things just got different with him.
We've never done anything negative to him. We were helping him with the rent.
He said that he liked living with us and that it was so close to his job and he didn't want to leave.
It's a small house. It's not like a rental property. We rent to friends of ours. It's just a small old house. And he was a friend, but clearly he's not a trustworthy friend.